Good evening, and welcome to A Journey Through Into Awareness. We're always so happy that you join us. Thank you. We have a great show tonight, and we hope that each of our shows is fulfilling to you and touches you in a place that only you and God know that you need. So before we begin with our great guest, I just want to say that we work very hard on bringing guests to you that we feel are informative in a way that are going to add to your life, spiritually, mentally, physically. We will be working towards and bringing on information about nutrition, wellness, essential oils, breath work, in the coming weeks and months. So we thank you for the great interest we've had. And if you're interested in anything at all, please let us know. If you look at the episodes, we will start listing our websites on them in the newsletter. And if you don't get our newsletter, please sign in and join up. And on our on the email that you can send us, that we will be giving you our addresses. We invite you to write anything to us and perhaps suggestions for shows, because we're here to serve you. So we're your hosts tonight. I'm Dr. George Andow, and we're here with my great buddy, also Judy Miller. Hi, Judy.
It's great to be here, George Ann. We have a fantastic guest. So have you ever wondered what it might be like to visit where our souls originate and to experience the unfathomable source of supreme love? Well, Anthony Teresi has traveled this journey countless times. Anthony is a renowned psychic, multidimensional visionary, and author of the new book, Rippling Waves, A Spiritual Journey Through the Heart of the Universe. And it's a beautiful cover, right, Georgianne?
Beautiful. I love it.
So born a fourth generation intuitive, Anthony's life's work has been the development, the refinement, the exploration, and mastery of the highest intuitive and psychic realities of consciousness. Anthony's given gifts allow him to tune into the realm of universal knowing, unlocking the hidden mysteries of existence. This has granted him access to a doorway from humanity to the beyond. Now, this knowing empowers him to see and to hear, and more importantly, to interpret spirit messages and inner truths of the greatest importance. Wow, that's an introduction, Anthony. I hope you can live up to it.
I'll do my best. It actually is my life work, so I should be okay.
It's wonderful to have you. Welcome to Journey Through to Awareness.
Welcome. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
So, Anthony, as a fourth generation clairvoyant intuitive, when did you actually realize that your family was a little different?
Well, to be quite frank with you, fourth generation, my reference to that is the fact that as far as we know, this ability has transpired down from my great grandmother, probably before that, but as far as we know. I'm not so sure it's transmitted genetically, but I make reference to that because as a child, for example, 7, 8, 9 years old, I would know when the phone was going to ring. I would tell my mother or my aunt was going to call. And sure enough, 10, 15 minutes later, the phone rang and it'd be my aunt. And everybody laughed and got a big kick out of that. So I was really nurtured and not made to feel that these gifts or skills were really anything extraordinary or out of the ordinary. So this transpired all through my family life until I grew into an adult. And I naturally began pursuing these things. My father was not did not come from a psychic background, but he was an avid UFO believer. And again, as an adolescent, was telling me about life on other planets and the universe is teeming with life and beings. And so I just naturally sort of was absorbed all of this and just went into my adult life. And these became my interests. I really was primarily focused on music going into out of my teens and into my adult life, but metaphysics and spiritual realities and all of the above always have had a tremendous attraction for me. So that's kind of where the fourth dimensional part comes from.
You know, that's interesting, Anthony. I'm sorry I cut you off, Georgianne. Were you about to say something?
That's okay. It's very interesting. And Anthony, you speak about it, that it's a journey in your book, that you take journeys, or you've been taking these journeys. Could you talk a little bit about what you mean by that?
Because this is a book that is based on a lifetime of experiences, I put it into the form of a journey, because it really has been a life journey for me. It isn't as linear in reality as it is in the book, but there's just no other way to present it. You have to use words. You have to, you know, put these things into some sort of context, right? So in the journey aspect of it, that makes reference to the fact of the evolution of the soul in terms of how it is able to expand and continue to expand into these higher realms. So that's what the journey element that refers to. Mm-hmm.
So Anthony, earlier you were talking also, you know, you started as a musician and you said that music was part of this source of expanded consciousness and one of your journeys for you. Can you expand upon music itself and how that helped you to open up?
Absolutely. It was amazing. It took about 18, 19 years before. And I was an avid musician. I practiced day and night. I practiced as often as I could, aside from having a family.
And, what was your instrument, Anthony?
I played drums, percussion, and all manner of time tempo related instruments. And I had to develop what is referred to in these days, anyway, a quadridextrous ability, and in terms of the ability to have, be able to do something different, both with each hand and each foot. That was the greatest challenge of my life, quite frankly. And I practiced and tried, and I got to the point to where I was doing pretty good. But I still had to think about what I was doing. So about, again, 18, 19 years into my career, I had a breakthrough that changed my life as far as music is concerned forever. I got to the point to where it was as if I was in the moment. I was no longer thinking of how to play the instrument. I was simply playing it. The music was a result of my creative will as I expressed it. There was no difference whatsoever in terms of what I was willing to be and what was coming to be. And it was as if I was standing many times, not just once, as if I was standing next to myself, watching myself play. Now, you will hear many athletes and many other musicians tell you the same story, because when you reach a certain point, you master your technique. And at that, from that point forward, it's just pure expression.
So Anthony, one of the things, just following up with what you're saying, you know, based on all of this experience that you had in music, you were actually able to create healing instruments with a healing tone?
Absolutely. As time went on and I progressed further into my studies, and I want to make a point that during this entire time, I was also studying metaphysics and healing and vibration and all of the esoteric information available to me at that time, because again, it was a natural interest for me. So I just wanted to continue pursuing it. But it became evident that frequency and vibration were the properties by which we exist. I began creating instruments that would vibrate in tone to the heart energy, to the cerebral energy, to the various chakras. And I was able to affect many healings in that from that standpoint. It was the next transition from music. I went from being a commercial musician to being a sound healer. And at that particular point, I devoted all of my life to that. And I don't know whether you've seen any demonstrations of cymatics. That's where they sprinkle a little bit of sand on a plate and they vibrate it. Well, what you're seeing there is really only a two-dimensional representation of a sound wave. Realistically speaking, it's multidimensional. It's really huge, quite frankly. And I became aware of this at a very early stage, and I was able to utilize this three-dimensional, four-dimensional, five-dimensional energy, not to be confused with 5D or 5G, I was able to utilize this. And again, this is where, again, my intuition became sharper and sharper, because in doing so, I had to intuit the effect that the sound was having on the various clients that I had or the various concerts I was performing. And it's been an education, and still to this day is. But I transferred from sound healing directly into doing readings for people, because I wanted to have more of an in-depth one-on-one experience, both for my clients as well as myself. I felt that that was the next step to develop intuitively. And that then led me to where I am now as far as my practice.
So you do readings for people, Anthony?
I do.
We want to make sure that besides your book, we want to make sure that we can tell our listeners at the end how to contact you.
Absolutely.
So we're very interested in continuing what you're speaking of vibrationally when we come back. So we're going to take a brief break. Thank you for joining us with Anthony Tarisi on A Journey Through Into Awareness. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you interested in having a better relationship with yourself, others, and God? Greetings. I'm your host, Dr. George Andow, for the show, A Journey Through Into Awareness. On my show, we journey into the awareness that the mind of God is the true seat of our personal consciousness. We join together each Monday at 7 p.m., so tune in on Talk Radio NYC.
Did you know that nearly one in five adults in the U.S. battles mental illness? Hi, my name is Albert Dabba. I'm the host of the show Extra Innings. Extra Innings, I discuss the topics of wellness, mental health, and the experience of surviving multiple suicides within my family. Listen live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern to Extra Innings for discussions with sports figures, artists, mental health professionals, and many others. That's Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to A Journey Through Into Awareness. We're your hosts, Dr. George Andow and Judy Miller, and our guest tonight is Anthony Teresi. So, Anthony, again, thank you for joining us. It's great to have you with us tonight.
Lovely to be here.
We were speaking before the break about energy and vibration, and you were speaking of your familiarity with using instruments in a way of healing because of the vibrational sound it makes. My only understanding of that, what you're speaking of in any depth of way, is singing bowls. I have singing bowls, and some are made of different materials. I have some made of crystal. Is that similar, that what you're speaking of? Others might be familiar with singing bowls because they're more of common nature, where you strike them and they each have a different pitch within the musical realm.
Generally speaking, I would say yes. Okay. It's in the same direction, if you will. But bowls almost invariably, when I have an entire set myself, I have more than a set, but bowls are tuned to various tones and pitches. Mm-hmm. And unless you are able to take the bowls, if you're going to use bowls, unless you're able to take them and mix the tones properly, they're going to not have the kind of effect that the instruments that I've developed have. Mm-hmm. And I want to make a point here, because I'm not there yet. I hope I see that in my lifetime. But I feel that where we're going as far as healing is concerned is into the vibrational direction. There's a great video, I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, where a woman is being worked on, I believe it was in Tibet. She had a giant tumor, which they were showing on a screen. And there were three Tibetan monks there chanting vigorously. And in 35 minutes, they had affected the tumor to disappear. And this was documented across the world. Of course, we don't hear much about that here because there's no real profit and cure here. We work on maintenance. But it is my contention, and I feel very, very strongly about this, that in the future, we will, if you have a heart condition, you will go to a sound practitioner. That person will be able to have the correct collection of tones and frequencies to lift your heart back into its natural original state of pure health. And I think that this is where we're going. Ultimately, I believe robust health is our birthright. I don't think there's any reason for us to be sick.
Mm-hmm. So Anthony, I've seen some amazing things done with actually tuning forks as well. But what I wanted to ask you is if you've ever seen the work of Dr. Emoto. Basically, he would expose water to either like classical music or to rock music. And then he would actually look at the water crystals underneath the microscope. And the ones that were actually exposed to like classical music were these beautiful forms. And I'm not trying to put down hard rock, but like anything that was exposed to hard rock or heavy metal, a lot of the crystals looked a little distorted. So it's interesting how sound could actually impact things around us.
Yes. And Judy, a takeoff on that also is, there is a film, a very old film called What the Bleep Do We Know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was made and filmed by a scientist watching under a microscope the crystalline patterns of water based on the vibration of each individual person with whatever mood they were experiencing.
Mm, yeah.
So the person with anger, the crystalline patterns looked one way, consistently. The individual with joy, the crystalline patterns revealed themselves in a different way. When you talk about cell healing, what type of vibrational instruments would people be using at that time? Would they be?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
That's okay. I'm sorry. I was just saying, are they instruments?
I believe that they will be instruments, but not necessarily in the musical sense. I think that the refinement is going to come. Although I do feel that they will be acoustic, because I think there's not to get too technical, but there are two different Overtone series. Acoustic instruments provide a more organic interaction with our human body, because after all, we come from the planet and we are attuned to the natural sounds of the environment. So I believe that this will become refined as time goes on. But we're looking at that kind of development. And I believe that, like I said, we're not quite there yet. My finger is on the pulse of this, but I haven't really seen as yet the breakthrough that we're looking for to be able to, number one, isolate the various frequencies of perfect health in each person. And number two, to find the instruments that will vibrate a kidney or vibrate a heart or vibrate a lung back into its natural condition. So we're just on the precipice of that, but that's where we're going.
Well, that's very exciting, isn't it? You know, it's interesting because I was praying, you know, but some interesting things are going on in my life. My dog isn't well, and my heart feels very heavy. It feels like real deep suffering. And I was praying and asking God where God is, because of course I know where God is. God is everywhere. But I was having a hard time feeling that connection. And what I felt God say to me, and you validated it tonight, and I was forgetting, was that I don't have to, none of us have to think about what it is to walk with God, be in God, be with God. We already are there. And what God was showing me was that I am already being in it. So I don't necessarily feel it or have to do anything else for it. All I have to do is just be and remember. And that's exactly what you're saying with that vibration. What God was saying to me with that is that it's energy. It's just the vibration that I'm already in. So when we're, it's almost like when we're in it, we don't think about it. Like Anthony was talking about with his music instruments, it's like an overlay. So we don't have to think about it. We're already part of it. And it just is. And that's just beautiful because God blesses us in that way.
That anyway. That's absolutely beautiful. So Anthony, I know that we went off and talked a lot about music. I know Georgianne and I are especially interested in that. But I know that one of the things, you had a signature event in your life that helped you completely pierce the veil. And that was when your brother was killed in a plane crash. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what you experienced and what you saw?
Yeah, I can. It's quite a number of years ago. My brother, who we were only 14 months apart, so we were obviously very close.
Wow.
And he had his own plane and was flying to Acapulco. He didn't realize it. There was a storm brewing, excuse me, in the South Pacific or wherever it was. And as he was approaching Acapulco, the winds curved around and blew his plane up into the hills between Ixtapa and Acapulco. And we didn't know what happened. A month had gone by and we hadn't heard from him. So we contacted the Acapulco airport and they indeed confirmed that they had him on the radar and then he disappeared. And we didn't know what to think. And so I was determined to find out what had happened. I got on a plane, went to Acapulco with the committed intention of finding out what was going on. If he had made it, if he was hurt somewhere, if he didn't make it, whatever the result was, I had to come back and tell my family. So while I was there in Acapulco, I traveled into all the areas where it was, where we were told that the plane could have crashed or could have landed. Or, you know, and it was very intense. The jungle up in the, excuse me, the jungle up in those areas is really thick. There are little paths and little roads. I hired guides. We covered multi-times. We covered all the paths, all the roads, all the villages, until finally, after about a month of time, there was just no place else to go. We had covered everything, talked to everyone, and there I was, empty-handed. So I'm sitting in my hotel room the night before leaving to kind of to come back and tell my family that I had turned up empty-handed. During that moment, the frustration that was pouring through me was more than I can even explain. Tears started rolling down my face because I just couldn't believe that I had not been successful. Now, at that particular point, I noticed that the room started getting brighter. This was about midnight, by the way. The room started getting brighter and brighter and brighter, and I was taken back, and all of a sudden there was a flash, and literally it was as if a veil where none had been parted, and there was my brother. I want to make a point. When I say there was my brother, he did not materialize in his physical form. He was in his light body, but it was him absolutely positively nonetheless, and I was just overcome with joy, and the light that came bursting through was like unlike any I had ever seen before. He communicated with me and told me that indeed his plane had crashed and he hadn't made it, but he seemed just overjoyed about what was in front of him and where he was going. And he told me to say goodbye to everyone and tell everyone that he loved them. And at that particular point, he was gone and the light withdrew. And I found myself sitting there laughing and crying at the same time and shaking almost uncontrollably. I realized that the significance of that and that death itself did not exist. Footnote. About 5 years later, we got
Anthony,
a message from...
I don't want to interrupt you. We need to take a quick break.
Okay.
And this
okay.
seems like... I want to hear this when we come back. So we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back with great excitement to hear Anthony Teresi share about the footnote he wants to speak of his brother's death and appearing to him in the next life. We'll be right back. Thank you.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on TalkYC.
Or are ready to open your own business? Hi, I'm Jeremiah Fox. I've been operating and opening small business for the last 25 years, and I'm the host of the new show, The Entrepreneur. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time for insights and stories on the nuances of running small business right here on Fridays at noon, talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Wise Content Creates Wealth. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Friday afternoon from 1 p.m. to 2. They say content is king. Well, wise content rules the world. Every episode features tools and tips for content marketing and business people telling the wise content stories of that success. Tune in every Friday from 1 p.m. to 2 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Okay, welcome back with Anthony Tirisi. If you're just tuning in, this is A Journey Through Into Awareness here tonight, again with Anthony Tirisi. So Anthony, please continue. Thank you.
Well, there was just one more thing I wanted to mention regarding that. I mean, that was the experience of all experiences that I had ever had up to that point. But the footnote that I wanted to mention was that about 5 years later, well, 5 years actually, we did get a note from the Mexican government that quite accidentally some hikers had found the wreckage of my brother's plane. It was at the 8,500 foot mark under a bunch of trees and brush that I never would have found. It was impossible to find. So it became evident to me at that time that I believe to this day even that my brother called me down there so that we could have that experience and I could have that kind of closure, not to mention that kind of breakthrough that would propel me forward into the true reality, the experiential reality of the fact that there is so much past this three-dimensional world that we live in.
So Anthony, you had an incredible experience, you know,
yes,
being able to communicate with your brother. And you mentioned early on that you were a fourth generation intuitive. So Anthony, are we all born intuitive and can we develop these abilities ourselves?
Absolutely. There is the gift within us. In my book, for example, I make reference to, I'm sure you've heard of the law of attraction. There are many universal laws, and one that I use quite a bit is the law of emergence. Just like an acorn has within it the entire blueprint for an oak tree, we have from birth the entire blueprint of the fullness of our being.
Yes.
And you come to realize that, not you, but anyone comes to realize the fact that these gifts belong to all of us, then you can work on them and develop them yourself. The problem, unfortunately, is that we have developed the mind and the intellect to a point to where it really kind of shouts down that intuitive voice, unfortunately. Yes. And the half the battle, quite honestly, is finding ways around that interference. I definitely refer to it as interference, and into the ability to tap into consciousness.
Yeah, one of the things that I love that you say is your consciousness is not your brain.
Say that again, Judy.
Your consciousness is not your brain.
No. And as a matter of fact, we only operate, I work in my life as a psychoanalyst and spiritual director, and I'm very clear that we only work and live 10% consciously. The other 90% is asleep. And we're called by God to awaken to all that lives within us, within that acorn, so to speak. And when we find our true self and our true purpose here, we are experiencing the fullness of God. You know, God, we're each slivers of God. Jesus walking on the earth was the whole pie. We're each slivers of that coming together in the collective consciousness.
And, you know, just to reiterate what Georgianne said, Anthony, I know one of your favorite quotes is, what you are looking for is looking.
No, what you are looking for is what is looking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What you are looking for is what is looking.
Yeah.
Right.
And who is the observer?
Exactly.
Yeah,
and it goes back to what you said. I would say it's slightly different, but it's the same thing. I mean, we're all light creations of one source, one God, one creator, and it is our destiny to ultimately find our way back home into the bosom of that ultimate love and ultimate light. What I have been able to do is what anyone can do. There's nothing special about it. I've been very fortunate in that I've been able to pursue my dreams, and I've been able to put myself in a position to develop my abilities, whereas a lot of times that isn't always the case. So I feel that we all have the ability. We all are the light of love from which we were born, regardless of what your parental situation was, whether your parents were together. That's not what I'm talking about. You were born out of the expression of love, and you are an expression of creation that is seeking that love one way or another to fulfill your ultimate happiness.
Amen. That's beautiful. Anthony, you're such a wonderful guest, a lovely man. You have great humility. It's wonderful how beautifully humble you are. And yet, you know, you really do walk and live out of a very high state. It's really a blessing that you're here with us tonight.
Thank you so much. I'm enjoying this. It's fun.
Yeah. So, Anthony, with love as our destination, when we look out into the world, there's a lot of division at the moment. But I know one of the things that is happening right now is unification. So it almost seems like a dichotomy, that it's at odds with each other. What's your thoughts?
Well, it is, but there's more going on than most people think. You know, we are overwhelmed with the message of the media. We are overwhelmed with the conflict, with the separation. But there are over 1,000, maybe more by now, different organizations in the world dedicated to planetary unification, to bringing us together as one people. And you don't hear the splash in the news about them because there's not a lot of call for love and goodness and unification of humanity in the world on MSNBC or CNN. But the fact is that they are there. We are connecting. We are seeing a renaissance in art, certainly in science for sure, with field dynamics and epigenetics and neuroplasticity, and you know, all the new science is really ancient wisdom from way before Egypt that is making its way out in some sort of acceptable form now. So we are seeing this, and my feeling is, and I write about this in my book, we realistically have the opportunity and the capacity to overwhelm this planet with love. We just are not utilizing it. If we could, you could see in a generation, you could see the most incredible transition and renaissance that the world has ever known, including the one that just happened 500 years ago.
So Anthony, how do we do that though?
Well,
individually, how do we each contribute to that?
Well, then that's exactly it. We each contribute to that by realizing who we are as a light being ourselves. Gandhi said it, you know, be the change that you want to see in the world. If you, again, the collective you, if you put yourself in a position to go within and find that true being, it is not your mind, it is not your thoughts, it is in your heart, and it is that love that exists that aligns when you have what's called heart-mind coherence. When your heart and your mind are aligned and the energy is working, that's when you come into stillness, and that's when you can realize this light. Once realized, that light spreads. We don't even know how far each person is different. It could be a few feet. It could be a mile. It could be a light year. We don't know. It's huge. But in this regard, if this were practice, if this were put in a position to be lauded as opposed to being woo-woo stuff, you know, kind of thing, then we would see a tremendous growth from that standpoint. But it starts with each individual. And let me just make one more point. Once you come into this realization, once you realize that light of love within yourself, the first thing you want to do is you want to run out and tell everyone about it. I mean, it's just like, oh my God, you got to check this out. It's like unbelievable. And then that's how things spread.
And that's why we created this show, is to open up dialogue with people to let listeners know, you know, what is available, that it's available to all of us without question, Anthony. Just beautiful. Just beautiful. You know, in the Talmud says that we don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. You know, one of our quests is to help people to recognize that they are unconscious and that they live out of their pre-talking experience of ego, 0 to 7, and that there is more beyond the confines of their mind. And as we work to help sweep that away through awareness, what is left is that kernel of the acorn, which now can grow. It's great.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's exciting.
It's exciting, but it's also a time of great confluence. It's a time of being in a position to see these major changes occurring on a global level. The events that are occurring right now are global events that are causing us to come together on a global scale, whether we like it or not. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately that's going to be to our benefit.
Mm-hmm. Anthony, when you meditate, we need to take a brief break, I think. When we come back, maybe we could take a look at when you meditate and you sit and you do your prayer. Can we take a little bit look at what comes to you in your personal time with God? And what is that prayer life and that intuitiveness for you? We'll be right back to A Journey Through Into Awareness with Anthony Teresi. Thank you for joining us.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to A Journey Through with Anthony Teresi. We're going to take a brief look at, we have so many things we want to ask him and have him talk about. So we were asking him briefly, when he goes to prayer and meditation, what is that like for him?
Well, again, it began as a process. It began as the ability to have a willful focus. It began as the ability to calm my mind and to attune my heart and my mind. Slowly but surely, I was able to do that over long periods of time, an hour, two, three, whatever the case may be. And in doing so, I began to realize how difficult it is to keep your energy focused without being distracted. So I was able to do that, finally. And that's when the visions came. My vibrational energy began to expand, but that presented a second problem. Because the minute I began seeing visions, I would say to myself, oh my God, I'm seeing visions. And then, of course, the whole thing would collapse, right? So finally, again, I got to the point where I was not distracted by that. And through a ongoing process, my vibrational abilities were able to rise into these various frequencies. And in doing so, I realized that there were entire modes of topography, different beings, different expressions. And with each successive breakthrough, I would realize further the higher dimensions carry with them their own identity, their own individuals, if you will. Angels, celestial presence, beings from other worlds. And these, again, were the result of being able to tap into my light, have my light tap into consciousness, right? Stay focused, come out of my body, not physically out of my body, but consciousness-wise out of my body, and allow myself to experience these dimensions without getting overwhelmed by them. And that is how I approached my book. Again, the things that I describe in my book are actual experiences that I've had. I've had to put them in book form because, again, there's no other way to do it. If I could intuit it to every being on the planet, I would love to do that, but that's not quite ready yet. So it's in a journey form, but the journey itself has been a lifetime journey. It's taken me my entire life, ever since I was a kid, to get to the point where I was able to write about it.
Yeah. So Anthony, if you had to sum up or express one thought or idea that encompasses the heart and the soul of your book, what would it be?
We are beings created in love who are here to create and co-create with the greatest love of all, which is the love of Source. When we realize that, we will realize that life is lived from the inside out, not from the outside in. When we realize that we are spiritual beings and we can attune our will to greater will, we can create amazing things.
That's absolutely beautiful. And again, Anthony Cerisi, author of Rippling Waves. So Anthony, for our listeners, how can they connect with you?
Just my name.com, Anthony Cerisi, AnthonyTerisi.com. It's my site. It has my book on it, but you can go to Amazon and type in Rippling Waves and it'll come up there too. But my site has all of the other things I do. It has some of the music I've composed. It has the types of readings that I engage in. It has pretty much all of the information, has my contact information. And please, anyone listening to this, if you go to my site and you want to contact me, do not hesitate to call me. I answer my own phone. I don't put anyone in between me and the people that are trying to reach me. So if I don't answer, I promise you, I will call you right back.
Oh, I love that because I like phone much better than anything else. I'm an old girl. Anthony, before we wrap up, I'd like to ask you one more question, if I may. Do we each have our own guardian angel that walks with us?
I believe we do. In fact, I've seen in my own experiences, I've seen certain individuals have two or sometimes even more, depending on, I'm not sure what the angelic directive is and why that is. I have not been able to find that out. Comes from a higher source, but absolutely. The angelic, celestial, seraphic development is an evolution akin to our own. Best of way I could put it is sort of in a parallel development.
I always think that how we live and how we die sort of dictates where we go. Like there's different parts of where we go. I mean, I have no clue because I have no clue. What do I know? But would you think that that's so, how we live and how we die? Because where do we go when we leave here? When you were speaking about the like the curtain parting, you know, I call that the resurrected body, because Jesus, they were able to see him, but yet he was able to eat. They could put their fingers in the nail holes in his hand. So where do you think that we go?
I believe, from what I've seen, that in each lifetime lived, the dense negative experiences that we have that have not served us are left behind. I believe the only thing that rises are the pure and beautiful experiences that we've had. I believe they reconstitute themselves in a different dimension, or perhaps even in this dimension. But life is always evolving forward. It's always evolving out of the beauty of love.
Beautiful. I love that. I love that. Yes, Judy, and I love that. We're both smiling.
I think we're just speechless because it resonates so much with us. It is absolutely beautiful.
Yes.
So, Anthony, you alluded to the fact, do we come back?
I don't know if we come back, to be honest with you. I think that I've had experiences where I can say that I've seen past lives. But because I feel everything moves forward and evolution is such that it's taking us continually in this upward spiral, I'm not so sure about what back is. I think that there's only future and forward. Now, I believe also that the concept of the Bodhisattva, who the spirit that comes back to help speed the evolution of humanity, I believe that that's true. So I believe that some spirits come back to help affect that. But I don't know, to be honest with you. I write about this in my book at the end of chapter 4. It's quite extensive, but it definitely shows that I've seen that the higher harmonics, the higher beautiful experiences, the higher love that we've had, the humanitarian things that we've done, all are what rises and becomes the next vehicle.
It's beautiful. Yes. Anthony, it's great because I share similar beliefs. I mean, not that matters, but so may we end in prayer. Before we do, though, I want to thank you again from my heart for being on the show with us. You're an absolute blessing. And, you know, next week we're going to have Father Bob. I love him, Father Bob Smith. And we're going to be talking about life, death, resurrection, past lives, and the like. So we hope that you'll join us then also. So loving God, you fill all things with the fullness and hope that we can never comprehend. Thank you for leading us into a time where more of reality is being unveiled for us all to see. We pray that you will take away our natural temptation for cynicism, denial, fear, and despair. Help us have the courage to awaken to the greater truth, greater humility, and greater care for one another. May we place our hope in what matters and lasts. Knowing, good God, that you hear us better than we are speaking, we offer our love, prayers, in all of the holy names of God. Amen.
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 Amen. God bless. Thank you again, Anthony. Good night, Judy.
Good night. It was such a pleasure having you, Anthony. Good night, Georgia.
Thank you so much. I loved it.
Thank you. Good night.